The Play of the Week is a download from the BBC.
In March 1979, I drive down to Cornwall to see 86-year-old Lady Russell. She, who was responsible for some of the great causes of our century, progressive education, women's rights, sexual reform, birth control, and pacifism. I hope to write a film about her life with Bertrand Russell, the famous philosopher. She lives in Porthcurno, on the cliff top.
I'm awfully sorry to trouble you. I'm trying to find out where Lady Russell lives. I was told it was a house with a green...
No, lady, it's Dora. Come in. I've got the beer in. Oh, hang on. Let's get this sack of coal in first.
No, please, let me do that.
No, I'm fine. Used to keep the coal in the garage, but it was blown into the sea last winter. There. This was our holiday home. We wanted a place with sea views. Bertie saw it on a calm day and bought it. Forgot it blew gales on cliff tops. A silly blighter.
But don't you freeze up here?
Oh, no. I live with the wind. But no need to worry. I've laid the fire. Come through. We'll sit at the table. Let's get the measure of each other. Oh. Beer or cider?
Beer, thanks.
Tin or glass?
Glass, please. Dora, do you mind me recording it?
Oh, fine. I'm an open book. But I do have some questions first.
Okay.
I had an American film producer over last year, Sinclair Somebody the Third, God help us. He'd read everything about both of us, so he said. But it was plain as a pikestaff. He was only interested in the sex. I sent him packing. I told him we weren't two libidinous sex maniacs breaking taboos every 5 minutes. There was only one, Bertie. In your letter, you said the screenplay will be based on my autobiography. Is that completely?
Yes, absolutely.
Was there anything in there that stopped you in your tracks?
Sorry?
Surprised. Pulled you up.
Well, yes, there was, actually. Bertie's suddenly leaving you for a young student in 1930.
Yes. I still don't know why, 50 years later. A complete mystery.
Mummy.
John, you can come in. Excuse me. John, I'm keeping the door shut to keep out the draught. No need to be worried. It's for Mr. Shaw. He feels the cold.
I can't find them anywhere, and they tell me. They keep on telling me he has them. They say he found them.
Sorry, found what?
My cigarettes. I can't find them. If he found
Darling,
them...
Darling, Mr. Shaw hasn't got your cigarettes, and you know where they are. In the pantry.
No.
Top shelf by the pickled onions.
No, can't.
Come in. Meet Mr. Shaw. He's a friend.
No, I can't. Not yet. Later. Cigarettes. I did look in the pantry.
Top shelf, on the left. John won't take his pills, that's the problem. He was fine before they kicked him out of the House of Lords. As soon as that happened, this happened.
Sorry, why? What?
Don't you know about John,
my
son?
I know he's your son, but...
Oh, his maiden speech, House of Lords. It was in all the papers.
Sorry, I must have been away.
Oh, well, he has schizophrenia, and going into the Lords was good for him. But in their wisdom, the Lords have a 10-minute rule for maiden speeches. After 15 minutes, they carried him out, still talking.
John's 56 now, isn't he?
57.
A determined campaigner, like his parents.
Except we'd never have proclaimed that to cut crime, a man who steals a bag of jewels shouldn't go to prison but be given another and sent on his way.
That was his maiden speech.
It was. Mind you, Bertie, his father, would have said it didn't imply insanity. Because it had a certain logic, albeit far from practical. bag of jewels. Bertie didn't leave me a penny, just this place. John was getting £250 a week attending the Lords. Now we're down to £23, my pension. The money's gone, the garage is gone. Oh, next the house. We'll sail off like Mary Poppins. Solve all our worries, why not? Now, don't look like that.
What, sorry?
Pitying.
Oh.
Pitying the poor OAP. I spend the day writing to women's groups all over the world, fighting for their rights, and everywhere I go, I'm patronised. It's there, there, my dear. Simply does nothing for someone with a brain as sound as a bell. So, no pity.
I see. I've got to be careful.
Where do you intend to start the film?
I was thinking when you first saw Bertie, your first impression.
That was in court, 1916. I couldn't believe those ears. He was the Mad Hatter. So, what was I doing there?
Supporting him. He'd been labelled a traitor for campaigning against the war. You were both against it.
And when was the moment I fell in love with him?
When he came out of prison, you went on a walking holiday.
The moment.
Yes, on the South Downs. You were climbing a hill. He stopped to take in the view, and you viewed him.
Yes. He was ugly and beautiful, like a mischievous sprite, and his whole body exuding energy. But persecuted and lonely. That's where we made love. I didn't say that in the book. So we lived in sin. I was called the shocking blue stocking, and he was the lewd lord. Did I care?
Nope.
Did he?
Not where sex was concerned. He had his priorities.
Apart from women's rights and the war, what else did we do?
You campaigned for workers crushed by industry, you ran a progressive school, and later you helped found the National Council for Civil Liberties and CND. Have I passed?
Oh, I'm not being awkward. Do you mind?
No, no, of course not. I understand.
You know, you remind me of someone. It's the accent. D.H. Lawrence. Do you come from Nottinghamshire?
No, Derbyshire, but close. I once read one of his essays on the radio, Nottingham and the Mining Country. I was picked for my accent.
Of course, his father was a coal miner, wasn't he?
So was mine, initially.
The plot thickens. But I bet you differ in telling me how to cope financially. Lawrence would say, regain your blood consciousness. Go back to nature. Be a baby again. What would be your prescription?
Keep warm.
Oh, the fire! I've not lit it. So sorry. Matches, matches. Where's the matches? Have you any?
No, I haven't. Dora, I would rather you save the coal for yourself. Honestly, I'm okay. Really, I am.
I said no pity. Do you want these tongs?
No, no, sorry.
I'll give you a clog. Any more of that? I'm going to head an OAP Liberation Army. John, bring some matches, would you please? No need to come if you don't want. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, Lawrence. Do you know the awful man begged Bertie to leave him everything in his will, can you believe? His only virtue was his cause, the oppression of industrial workers.
And you went to Russia to see if communism would end all that.
Of course. I came back thrilled by it.
Mummy.
Ah, matches. Oh. Oh, thank you. Now, I'm going to keep the door shut to keep the room warmer, that's all. Now, don't be alarmed. Oh, darling, I'm sure you'd like Mr. Shaw. He's come all the way from Derby to see us.
I would, but I can't, Mummy. I'm awfully busy. Lots to do. So much pressure and...
Darling, please, you mustn't worry. Everything is fine. Please, come in and I'll prove it to you.
No, I can't. No time. They keep telling me impossible. important matters, things to report, so many. I'll see him later. Only if I have time, though.
It's the voices inside his head that issue orders. Awful. Don, my relationship with Bertie, yes, it was complicated, but we truly loved each other. I still want to know why he stopped loving me. You're bound to deal with it, so how will you?
Well, there was the young student.
Yes, the student Patricia, young and pretty. She worked for us as a holiday job, tutoring the children. I said he could have her any time he wanted, so why stop loving me? I begged him to explain for ages. Don't forget, we were trying to put right some of the great wrongs in this world. We were bonded spiritually, to me, more powerful than sex. In my wildest dreams, he would never have cut the knot, yet he did.
So, it's still a mystery.
Yes, exactly. A mystery. A real mystery.
50 years on, and you still need an answer.
More than anything.
He was the centre of your world.
Universe. Yes.
Well, what were the circumstances? I mean, how did he tell you?
It was here, in this very room. I'd arrived from London to show him the new baby for the first time. Bertie couldn't produce another child for us. We wanted another. And so the baby was Griffin Barry's, an American. I was having an affair with him. Bertie knew about it, so it wasn't underhand. But that explains nothing. If it was just about sex, Bertie was totally promiscuous, unlike me. For God's sake, he had the new French teacher at the school we ran. As soon as she set foot in the door, we had to sack the cook because she saw them at it.
So what happened when you arrived with the baby? Can you describe it?
It's Tuesday, July the 22nd, 1930. I come down from London with Griffin and baby Harriet. We arrive here late afternoon. Bertie is already here. Patricia is down on the beach with the children. We get out of the taxi from the station, baby in my arms. It's the same old Bertie, comes out pipe in hand, a bit jerky and awkward, big grin, kisses, hugs me, drools over the baby, picks up my case. He waits until Griffin has gone down to the beach to join Patricia and the children. Then he stands with his back to the fireplace, like you, and announces it, tells me we are finished. I can't talk. He goes out. I sit down here at this table and write him a letter. I say how much I love him and plead that our mission in the world is too important to be wrecked. I go out and hand it to him. Nothing is said. I go back and watch him read it through the window. Patricia and Griffin bring the children back from the beach. He stuffs the letter in his pocket, tousles John's hair. They come inside. He says nothing. I wait for an answer. Patricia and Griffin are with the children in the garden. Bertie walks down to the village for tobacco. I keep waiting with the baby. They come back, still nothing. But I wait. Then I stand up. I can't take it any longer. I'm so angry.
Literally left holding the baby.
Precisely.
So you clunk him with the tongs?
No, I hurled a cup at him instead. Knocked the pipe out of his mouth. I shouted, was your love for me just a label that you've now peeled off and stuck on her? Remember, I'd given up 2 careers for Bertie, acting, which I loved, and lecturing at Cambridge. Huge sacrifices. How was that? Visual enough?
Absolutely. That was fantastic, Dora, honestly. That's a scene in itself. You've written it.
What's my percentage?
You'll be paid, Dora, don't worry. And not out of pity.
Oh, good. I'll be able to pay the coal bill. Now, remember, Bertie at that point didn't cut off all ties with me. Not yet. We're still working together.
Yes. Dora, there is a suggestion. Was the final break because you had a second baby also by Griffin?
Bertie couldn't be jealous of the lower orders, especially an American. An English peer jealous of a colonial. Love in itself is the greatest creative impulse on earth. Permanent, individual, and universal. My love could not be broken, not by jealousy. I thought the same of him. His love for me as permanent as mine. Forget sex. That was the traumatic shock. Oh, Bertie, the chameleon, 2 years later, tells me he wants to live with me again as family. No sex, just that. Then shortly after that, I get his letter saying he's changed his mind. All he wants is to live with Patricia. Incredible. Oh. Don, are you all right?
Yes, why?
You're not. You're shivering. Oh, the fire. Why didn't you tell me? Oh, where did I put the matches? Here. Up sticks, door of heaven's sake. What are you thinking of? Come, sit by me. I'll get you warm. This chimney has a fabulous pull. Soon burn up. Oh, that's better. Where were you born?
Melbourne, a village near Derby. Two up, two down. Terrace, no bathroom.
I suppose you escaped from that life as Lawrence did, through writing.
No, I didn't, actually.
Oh?
No, it was my father who got us out. I was only six.
Your father?
Yes, he'd read a book called Thrift by Smiles, the social reformer.
Ah, good old Samuel Smiles. The poor shall raise living standards by their own efforts. The way is simple, save your hard-earned money.
And he did. He saved to buy his own house, but it wasn't just that. His mother died in childbirth when he was only two. I think he first realised he was on his own.
Oh, poor man. Poor mother. So who brought him up?
He never said. His brothers and sisters probably mucked in. Dora, going back to Bertie, he's a lord and suddenly it hits him. The scandal of you with the American, if it ever got up.
Oh, no. The only time that happened was when John was born. It was for his sake alone that Bertie wanted us to get married, to ensure when he grew up he'd inherit the title and legitimately enter the House of Lords. I said it was hypocrisy. Weren't we supposed to be trying to end the slavery of marriage?
But you did marry him.
Yes. And was disappointed in myself, very.
But it showed how much you loved him.
Yes. Any other explanations in your locker?
Yes, I can think of one more, but...
Good. What's the problem?
I'm a bit worried.
What by?
I don't want the tongs. It's personal.
It's all personal. Is it to help with the screenplay?
Yes, of course.
Well, get on with it then.
Right. Okay, Bertie was 57, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, could he have seen Patricia as a means of recapturing his youth?
Well, I was 22 years younger than he, remember? What are you suggesting? Am I thinking what you're thinking?
Well, Patricia was 15 years younger than you. I mean, is it possible that for complete rejuvenation, from his point of view, I mean, is that why he wanted her full time?
For complete rejuvenation, he needed her full time. That's with me as the part-time bit, you mean?
No, not bit.
Well,
of course
part-time...
No, what I mean...
I look after the children while they're busy at it, you mean?
No, what I meant...
So I'm the skivvy, then, the bit on the side.
No.
I gave Bertie more drive, more energy, never mind the sex, than Patricia ever could, and he knew it. How do I know that? Because I do. All right?
Yes, I surrender.
Good. Let me be quite certain. You said in your letter that the film is to be just about the two of us, Bertie and I. Yes?
Yes.
Warts and all. His warts, my all.
Yes.
And it's definitely not going to be primarily salacious like that American producer.
Oh, no, it's for the BBC. BBC Two, actually.
Oh, dear. Don, that was just like Bertie and I. We were always punning, always joking. You do know that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the more fun up front, the more audiences identify, the more moving it becomes later.
Exactly. Oh, dear. But, yes, it is bewildering. You have so much to thank your father for, haven't you? He couldn't have gone out boozing, could he, saving his money? Not like some, easing the pain of their existence. He stood up to it. You were fortunate, don't you think?
In that way, yes.
How do you mean?
He never talked to me.
Oh. You mean never, ever?
No, I mean, he gave me orders and things, but he wasn't interested in anything that I did.
Really? Nothing at all?
No, might as well not have been there.
Well, in those days, it was common for people to say children should be seen and not heard. But you're saying you were not even seen?
No, he never touched me either, except to give me a good hiding.
Naturally, you wanted him to love you. All children do. Didn't your mother show you any?
I felt it was there, in her, that she wanted to, but she was scared that he wouldn't like it. And all I wanted just once was for him to put an arm round me, just to show. And once, he nearly did.
Why? What happened?
A letter came. I was standing by him when he opened it. I really thought he was going to give me a hug, because it said I'd passed the exam to grammar school. He said, well done, and he put his arm halfway, and then he whisked it back. Oh. In fact, he rammed it back to his side. Oh, yes. He grimaced when he was doing it, and I think it was anger for allowing himself to show feeling.
How sad.
And when I got home from my first day at Bemrose Grammar School, there was a pair of new football boots at the bottom of the stairs. Not gift-wrapped. No message with them. No card.
You mean you found them there? He never gave them to you?
No. And I worried about them for days.
But you did ask him.
Oh, yes. He said, well, they're not mine.
You've been going back, haven't you? Reliving those moments. You keep going back, even though it hurts.
I do, and I can't help it, and I don't know why.
I'm exactly the same. I keep flashing back to that moment when Bertie ditched me. My stomach drops. I flush all over. Then I'm frozen. It's 50 years ago, but I see his face, every gesture, hear every word spoken, detect every nuance. Is that how it is with you?
It is. Just like that.
Isn't that the reason we keep going back? To find out why?
Yes, I think that's probably true.
And maybe still subconsciously. Aren't we hoping that we can change the ending?
Like a film editor with footage, yes. I'd not thought of that. I never think, though. I just relive it. And I hurt myself every time.
We're the same. I may write about freedom, women's rights and civil liberties, but I put myself in chains, torture myself. I hate myself for doing it.
Yeah, I do. I feel lousy. Crazy.
You know what we are, don't you? Two useless peas in a pod. Oh, blow, winds, and crack your cheeks. Rage, blow, you cataracts and hurricanoes, spout. You know, we'd be better going down to the pub at Treen, the Logan Rock. Only 2 miles away, far less noisy. Or do you want to stick it out?
I'm okay if you are.
No, what am I saying? We've not properly warmed you up yet. Get up. Stand with your back to it. Do what men do when they have important things to say. Come on, turn the toast round.
Dora, is it possible that you both cared for the world out of guilt, initially, anyway?
Guilt? For what? what?
Well, you were both born privileged, Bertie the Earl, and you from the upper middle class, and your father high in the Admiralty.
Oh, no. I was angry that women hadn't got the vote when I was only 12. And the same about poor women dying, like your grandmother, in childbirth. Dorothy Dewson and I threw light on the terrible truth at the time. The most dangerous trade was known as mining, with one in every 1,000 miners dying. Yet 4 women in every 1,000 died at childbirth. I created the first abortion clinic and backed Marie Stopes to give women some power over their lives, to stop those abominations. I was a leading feminist 60 years before Germaine Greer, remember? Are you lots warmer now?
Ooh, lots. Thanks, Dora.
Your father, no warmth in his childhood, was there? No mother love, no father love either, probably, with all those children to look after. My parents gave me oceans. Don, let's make some toast on the fire.
No, stop it!
John. John? Darling, please come down.
I can't come yet, I'm sorry.
Oh, John. If you come down, I'll help you. I always do.
No time, Mummy. I told you. I'm far too busy.
It's hard, but we cope. More cold needed.
Dora, aren't you afraid, Eva?
Of John? No. Oh, no. He's so kind and gentle. Of course, they warned me what could happen. They wanted to put him in a psychiatric hospital, but I fought them. John's mine, I said, elbows bared. Just you try. Don't worry. He's never attacked anyone. You're safe.
Do you get help with him locally?
Oh, yes. He has a psychiatric social worker and 2 volunteers. I get 2 days off a week.
I have a close relative who one day told me an evil spirit had written something about him in The Guardian. He came out of it, luckily, and I was more scared for him than me. His mind, obsessed, seemed to race away with him. Terrible.
You mean he was cured?
Yes, because he hadn't actually got it. The psychiatrist marked him only 4 out of 10 on the schizophrenia scale. Now he's fine. He takes his pills.
Thank all that's mighty. Tell me, was he suicidal?
No, I mean, he never showed signs or spoke of it.
Bertie did. I found him at the cliff edge once, staring down, no movement at all. One step and he'd be gone. He couldn't hear me for the wave, so I daren't surprise him. I spoke very gently. I said, "I've brought you something, my darling." He turned slowly to stare at me. Then I hugged him tight and brought him back. I said, "I've brought you my love." Love. The most important word in any language, but meaningless if it doesn't show itself.
Like my poor mother.
She wasn't to blame. Father's word was law in those days.
Yeah. I slipped over the living room and I could hear him going on and on about me. Seemed almost every night, criticising me, running me down. She just listened.
Not once spoke up for you?
No. She never spoke.
It crushed you both, didn't it?
Yeah.
Don, don't you make up for what you never had through good reviews, people telling you how good your work is. Don't you feel that?
Oh, yes, I do. I'm only human, but it's not enough.
How do you mean?
I do crazy things. I've never told anybody this.
If it helps, tell me.
I go up to friends, and I have to tell them. You know, I'm on a high and I'm bursting with it like on a drug. I tell them I've got a new play or a commission or a good review. And I try not to, but it's impossible. I just have to do it.
Boasting?
Yes, but it's from a terrific compulsion. It's manic. I hate myself and I know it'll embarrass them. Oh, hopeless.
One thing it is not is vanity.
Well, they think it is.
No, it's exactly what you haven't got. He left you fighting just to become an individual, an entity. Just someone. And all for the sake of a hug.
Yes. For ages I thought I was a fraud at writing. They'd soon find me out, and after my second play, the BBC head of drama told me I was going to be an important writer. Well, I hardly wrote anything for years after that.
The truth is, your father made you feel you didn't even exist, so how could you be expected to believe in yourself?
Yes, I know, but... Oh, yeah. I come here as a good writer to get your support, and look at me running myself down, the opposite of boasting.
No, no. It's probably that which drives you on. More art comes from suffering than happiness. We all know that. Don, would you like a cup of tea? You've driven hundreds of miles.
No. I'm okay. I've not finished the beer yet.
Ah, but beer is chummy. Tea is comfort. What you need.
If you insist... Thanks.
You're right about Bertie and I being privileged. We had contacts, access to the press and people in power that the working class hadn't. That's why we were heard. I do hope, though... We're not seen just talking about changing the world. We were very involved, and we had to fight. The resentment we aroused was quite something.
A warm-hearted Bonnie and Clyde upsetting the establishment.
Oh, I like that. Thank God. I feared Antony and Cleopatra.
Oh, no.
But the news, forgotten. Have you heard?
No. No, what?
The election.
Mr. Callaghan announces the day he's chosen to go to the country. Oh. The general election, forced by Mrs. Thatcher, will be on Thursday, May the 3rd. Good evening. 5 weeks from today, the voters will decide whether Mr. Callaghan returns to Downing Street or whether Mrs. Thatcher becomes Britain's first woman Prime Minister. It was on her motion of no confidence that the government was defeated in the Commons.
I was going to start my next book... Now I've got to go on the knocker for the Labour Party. I'll be bussed off to Helston or Falmouth canvassing. Too tired to write after a day like that. And what do I say on the doorstep after a winter of the dead unburied and rubbish in the streets?
Oh, you'll find something.
Pity we haven't got a Mrs. Thatcher. But I don't think Labour will ever have a woman leader. Light years away. But I'll never give up doing my bit. Oh, come on. Let's go down to the Logan Rock. You could buy me a gin and tonic. I need one after all that.
Would you like another?
No, I've had two. It's my turn.
No, Dora, no. I get expenses and I'm driving. No.
That's settled. Who do you see playing me, by the way?
To be honest, I hadn't really thought about that.
I'm hoping it's Glenda Jackson. She wouldn't be playing me, she would be me. All the more because she's a real socialist.
Yes, she would. She would be you. While she was filming A Touch of Class, she paid me to write her a film about unemployment. But I was going through one of my bad times. I just couldn't do it. Do you see anybody as Bertie?
Yes, I do. I saw him only a week ago. He was really good and looked just like Bertie. David Day Lewis. Daniel Day Lewis. But I checked. He's 22, too young. A pity.
Yes, Bertie was 44 in 1916.
To me, he was ageless.
Did he ever talk about his childhood?
No, not really. Just bits and pieces. He never seemed to want to. And we were so involved with the here and now. Why?
Well, like my father, his mother died when he was only two.
Yes, I knew that.
And his father died when he was three.
Yes.
Bertie was made a ward of court and it gave his grandmother custody. It was deep winter and she took him back to her mansion in Richmond Park. Do you know about this?
Are you going to tell me something dreadful?
They were frozen all the way in a horse-drawn carriage, and when they got there, she raced him to a bathroom, stripped him and forced him into a freezing bath. And then, while a servant held him, she scrubbed him all over until she drew blood. She found out his father had encouraged his mother to sleep with his tutor. Every morning it was the same. The cold bath, the scrubbing, the... He never went to school. Just the tutor, so, of course, no friends. Completely cut off from childhood.
That is...
Ronald Clark, in his biography, calls it his commando training.
That is... Oh, dear God. But it wasn't commando training, was it? It was to rid him of his parents' sin, wasn't it? The Victorians did those cruel things. No wonder he never talked about it. Poor Bertie. If it's drilled into you that you're tainted by your father's sins, what might you do when you grow up?
Sorry, I...
You'd get angry with those painful memories, wouldn't you? You might even want to upset your dead grandmother. Oh, I'm sure she'd be as alive in Bertie's head as your father is in yours. You might even consider suicide. That would stop the pain and shock Granny at the same time, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I think you're right.
Don, why don't you tell me about your father? I want to know the good in him. You've told me of the bad. Now let's do him justice.
Oh, that's easy. He was honest in everything. He felt deeply about his country, joined the Royal Marines to fight for it. After the war, he worked in the British Legion to help veterans. He made sure I had every material thing I needed. He was brave in the war. I could never match that. I mean, what am I bitching about? I'm not a tragic figure. Millions, and I've done well. And it wasn't his fault, was it?
How was he brave? In what way?
He was blown up. They got him to hospital. He was at death's door for weeks. The agony suddenly went, and he knew he was dying, so he fought hard for the pain to come back. And when it did, he knew he'd live. Afterwards, he said he refused to die because he had a wife and son to look after.
Did he tell you this?
No.
But he told your mother?
No. She heard it from the doctors. I tell people how brave he was because, well, I get some kind of kudos out of it, I suppose.
Don, you must stop being the victim. You really must.
When he died at 83, I was at the funeral feeling absolutely nothing. And then, suddenly, I don't know what it was, tears bubbled up and they just kept on coming until it was a torrent. It just went on and on. My mother, she didn't cry. And I was shocked because I didn't know why. And I still don't know. I couldn't have been mourning him, could I? I mean, what was there to mourn? Oh, it was something else. Something else I kept reliving. Why?
I think you were crying for both of you, weren't you?
How do you mean?
For what might have been.
For what might have been? Yes. Yes, that's it. Well, it's got to be, hasn't it? Yeah. That must have been it.
Done.
the kitchen and living room, will you?
All right. Well, he's not down here, Dora.
Stephen, it's Dora. I can't find John anywhere. Can you alert the Coast Guard and police to watch for him, just in case? Yes, thank you. I'm going out to search. You stay by the fire.
No, I'm coming with you. I'll drive you around.
All right, then. There's some storm clothing here. It's John's. Oh, God, he was only in a shirt and trousers. John! John, darling!
John!
Where are you? I don't think he's along here. We've covered all of this part. He won't have gone further. Don't move. He's there.
Where?
There, on the edge. Don't shine the torch at him. Stay there. John, I brought your coat. You must be awfully cold.
I have to find the ship.
Oh, it's far too dark and too rough, darling. There won't be any ships out there tonight. Come here, let me put your coat on.
They have radar, and I can't tell anyone. They say it's a secret. My head hurts.
John, let me take away the pain. You're so cold. Come on, get your coat on. When the weather's better, we'll get Stephen to sail us to Mousel. You remember that lovely day? We'll do it all over again. Oh, I do love you, my darling. I do so much love you.
Porthcurno, March the 30th, 1979. Dear Don, after you'd gone, I sat down thinking about what had passed between us. Suddenly I had it. How to see ourselves as others see us never was an adage so apt. Why didn't we make the simple connection with what happened to your father and Bertie? It was staring us in the face. Like your father, Bertie hadn't received love as a child, so he was unable to love. Maybe love is like a virus. If you've not been infected with it, you might be unable to pass it on. That's why he idealized me, to make up for it. I was an ornament that he could put on a pedestal and which he worshipped. Naturally, he could replace me with another when he felt like it. He married 4 times, after all. The reason he failed to explain why he left me was because he knew I'd be shocked to know that he'd never truly loved me. He probably wanted to spare me that. Or was it the coward in him, unable to confess? I've dug out more photos and made notes I'm sure you'll be interested in. Until we meet next, I sign off with a hug and a kiss.
After divorcing Dora, Bertie married Patricia. She divorced him 16 years later, blaming his, quote, insanity and suicidal tendencies. Dora died in 1986, aged 93, still working for women's rights worldwide. John died within months. His maiden speech in the House of Lords is the only one never to be recorded by Hansard. The film was never made.
If you'd like to subscribe to the BBC Radio Drama newsletter, just go to bbc.co.uk/radio4/newsletter/drama.